Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Fortcast, the official podcast of Fort Healthcare. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Anderson, ENT doc and president and CEO of Fort Healthcare. And I'm very excited today because I have one of our nurse practitioners with us today, Dane Schultz. Dane, welcome to the Fortcast.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here. Looking forward to a good conversation.
Absolutely. Me too. So the audience knows that I've been with Fort Healthcare for a little over 20 years, and enough about me. So Dane, I'd love it if you could just introduce yourself to our audience, kind of tell a little bit of your background and how long you've been with Fort Healthcare.
Yep. So I am a nurse practitioner with the internal medicine clinic right down the road from the hospital. I've been here for, we're going on about 3 years as of right now. So definitely getting my feet wet stages over, and we're getting into the full swing of things here. So,
well, Dane, I have to share with you, it was 10 years until I was not noticed as the new ENT. So with you having 3 years under your belt, I would say embrace being the young, new nurse practitioner. So welcome. We love having you, Dane. Your patients love you, and we really appreciate all the work you do. So our topic today is we're going to talk about respiratory, in particular, the respiratory season. So in healthcare, we often refer to the respiratory season. So Dane, when we refer to a season in medicine as a respiratory season, what does that typically mean?
So that's about the time frame that kind of the viruses can linger around and infect patients. So usually we're looking at about this time of year, late August, early September, for the start of specifically like COVID, influenza. And those are your main two that most people have the biggest concerns with. And that usually runs until about usually late March, early April timeframe. So it's quite a bit of the year that patients do have to be worried with this stuff.
Yeah, so that's a little over 6 months that we have to worry about the respiratory and those particular viruses. So you mentioned a couple of viruses. You mentioned the flu virus, and there's influenza A and B, of course, and then COVID. So when the respiratory season starts to emerge, what are the most common symptoms of those viruses, would you say?
Yeah, so it's hard to differentiate them without specific testing, but a lot of them present similarly. So people have fevers, chills, body aches, night sweats, a cough, runny nose, a lot of the common symptoms that you normally see with some form of an upper respiratory illness, but that's usually where testing differentiate which type, especially as specifically COVID, since that's the newer one to our healthcare system with the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. A lot of those symptoms have now evolved to similar to that of what influenza is.
Yeah, so there's similarities in symptoms with these various viruses, and they can have a very big impact. Now, Dane, I know you're on the adult side, being in the internal medicine clinic. So I want to talk a little bit about maybe a little bit older population and how the respiratory season can, say, affect somebody with more comorbidities, like if they have COPD or diabetes or heart disease. Can you comment a little bit on that?
Yeah, so for our elderly populations with other comorbidities, as you said, the respiratory season usually hits them a little bit harder because their body is already under some form of stress from those chronic conditions. So when the body is trying to help and heal itself in turn with the other chronic conditions, the immune system is not as up to the strength that it could be if the body was in its normal healthy state. So that's where things along the lines like getting your influenza vaccine, getting your COVID vaccine can definitely help decrease any potential hospitalization or adverse outcome that might occur if you were to contract one of those illnesses.
So is it safe to say that the older population or people with comorbidities, they're higher at risk?
Definitely, 100%.
And so if we take a non-at-risk patient, what's the typical timeline of a respiratory illness? How long does it take for it to run its course?
Yeah, and that's not necessarily a misconception, but something that definitely can be better understood. The viral illnesses, they usually run their course. It can take up to like 10 to 14 days before we see that completely resolved for patients. That's where along the lines for education for the patient population here, getting into the aspect of where resources are stretched a little bit thinner in the respiratory season, just because a lot of people are getting sick and everything like that. So letting the virus run its course for that 10 to 14 days before reaching out to your provider, because antibiotics are something that we don't usually consider unless we're beyond that 10 to 14 day mark, depending on what your symptoms. Now, if your symptoms are worse sooner than that, definitely reach out and let us know. there, but with the extra stress and strain that comes on the healthcare system in the fall, that's kind of a guideline that we usually have patients follow.
And so a couple of points there. Typically, if somebody is healthy, supportive measures will help allow the virus to run its course. But if you're at risk, you have multiple comorbidities, it may play a larger impact on you. And you mentioned vaccines. So obviously flu vaccine, COVID vaccine. Can you touch a little bit, Dane, on how important vaccines can be in warding off and combating respiratory season?
Yeah, specifically for our at-risk patient population there with the extra comorbidities, what the vaccination does is it'll allow your immune system to build up antibodies to that virus. And then if you are to come in contact with that virus, it helps your immune system, which may already be weakened depending on what comorbidities you might have, fight that off a little bit better for you. So it's a very good thing to get that done. It shortens your illnesses. It lessens how severe your symptoms are. And overall is just a good thing for not only at-risk patients, but the general population to get as far as kind of keeping the whole population healthy.
Yeah, that's really well said, because it ties into something else you brought up, and that's the resources of the healthcare system. So when we see the respiratory season really start to take hold, it can really strain the system from a resource standpoint.
Yep. So a lot of what we see is a big influx of sick patients, specifically in the clinic here. So it makes getting appointment times a lot harder. It makes your appointment time be pushed out a little bit further in that sense. And that's where kind of touching back on your comment of self-care for patients is really where we like people to focus on before they do kind of reach out. Because initially, if your symptoms start after about a day or two, that's where we're going to direct you as far as making sure we're drinking enough water. I know the guidelines are about 64 ounces per day. I usually tell people to shoot for about 100 ounces per day. Increasing fruit and vegetable intake. The fruits have very good antioxidant properties, very healing properties as well too. And then again, just making sure that we're getting up, getting moving. We still want you to get rest, making sure you get 7-8 hours a night of sleep. But especially during the day, it's like, we don't want you necessarily sleeping all day. We want you up, moving, keep the blood flowing. That'll get the immune system cells where they need to go to help kind of fight off the infection that you're dealing with.
Yes. Food is medicine. There's a pretty large amount of research that's building upon that phrase. Food is medicine. So the surges, when you look at it from the clinical standpoint, and certainly it has a major impact on the inpatient side. So the inpatient refers to the patients that actually get seen in the emergency room typically and then get placed into the hospital for care. On the outpatient side, Dane, is it just an awareness that you're prepared for this, or is there anything else that you do on the clinical side to kind of prepare for respiratory season?
From that standpoint, it's more so an awareness, say, hey, things are spiking. This is kind of an idea for you to start taking those self-care measures that we already discussed. And that's where, again, touching back on the vaccines that we have already mentioned, where getting those vaccines are going to help prevent any serious complications. So in the turn, especially with our high risk population, the idea behind the vaccines is to ensure that your symptoms are stable enough to where we can cure it in the outpatient setting, so we don't have to put more strain on the inpatient setting, and it'll dampen your symptoms and ideally prevent you from having to be hospitalized with your symptoms.
Yeah. And anything we can do to keep patients out of the hospital is a win.
That's the ultimate goal. Yes.
And if I remember correctly, Dane, didn't you help us on the inpatient side during the peak of the COVID surge?
Yep. When I came over here, I worked as a floor nurse during the COVID pandemic and all of that stuff in the ICUs and everything. And then when I transitioned over here in the winter of 2021, I helped out for about 3 to 4 months before transitioning over to the clinic setting just to help out the hospital a little bit.
And that is not something to be taken lightly. So I appreciate, Dane, all your efforts to help us. And we hope we never get to that point, but I tell you, the inpatient resource utilization has never been more important than it is today, because trying to get patients to tertiary care centers is really, really difficult. This isn't a Fort healthcare issue. This is a healthcare issue. It doesn't matter which state you're in the United States. We all face these very strong challenges of inpatient and outpatient resource utilization during respiratory season. And now we talked a lot about vaccines. I want to touch base a little bit on outpatient pharmaceutical agents that may help with the respiratory season. I understand there's an outpatient medicine for COVID and also for the flu. So can you touch base a little bit on that? I think there's a little bit misconceptions on when they're used and how often they're used.
So the specific one for COVID, we'll start there. That medication is called Paxlovid. It's a medication that helps decrease the viral replication of COVID-19. It is a medication that we do not give it unless it's within the first 5 days of symptoms. That's where all the research has told us that it is most effective. A couple things with that, just for patient education purposes, is there can be a lot of medication interactions, specifically with some mental health medications and cholesterol medications. And we also got to make sure that your kidney function is adequate as well. So we usually have to run through your medication list, make sure your labs are within a reasonable time frame in order for us to safely prescribe that for you, because we want you to get better from the COVID illness, but we also want to be safe about the medication that we're prescribing for you as well. And then the other medication with influenza would be Tamiflu. All the research indicates that that one would be prescribed within 48 hours of the onset of the symptoms. And usually for both of those, we have to have a positive test one way or another, whether that be COVID-19 or influenza. The nice thing is our clinics now have a quad screening, which differentiates influenza A, B, COVID, and RSV. So you can just call out to your primary care provider. We can do that as simple as a lab visit. You come into the clinic really quick, we swab your nose, and then we usually have the results back that same day to let you know that information.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on that, Dane. You know, identifying which virus it is can be extremely helpful in a patient's treatment, but especially those patients at risk. So I really appreciate you going over those two medications. I believe those are the two most impactful medications, certainly on the outpatient side, to hopefully get people better quicker. So, Dane, is there anything that the community can do to help prevent or help minimize the impact of respiratory season? Like, I think of schools. Can you talk a little bit on that?
Community-wise, as we touched on before, kind of taking care of your body, that whole food is medicine is never more important as this season comes rolling around. Another way, too, is if you are sick, make sure you're not trying to hide it. I mean, let someone know, let a healthcare professional know, let your parents know if you're at home and you're a kid there. The other thing too is if we aren't testing positive for specifically influenza or COVID, but minimizing that risk by wearing your mask, making sure you're at a safe distance from others too, if you are still having those symptoms. Usually a general rule of thumb of a return to work or a return to school now with the new CDC guidelines is usually fever-free after about 24 hours and then wearing a mask until your symptoms have resolved there at that standpoint, just to keep yourself and everyone around you safer.
Excellent advice. I got to tell you, Dane, I've learned a great deal about respiratory season. You said it ends about what time frame?
Usually end of March, early April is as long as we've seen it run through. Mostly we're usually seeing peak numbers between that late October and December time frame when things really start kicking up.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of awareness around campus when respiratory season rolls around. It's in our everyday vocabulary, usually starting about this time of year, and we prepare for it. Well, I tell you what, Dane, thank you so much for being on this episode of the Fortcast. I've learned a great deal. I would say to our listeners, if you think you are having a respiratory virus, please reach out to your healthcare provider and determine whether or not you need to be tested. And then, of course, the appropriate measures taken through the advice of our healthcare professionals. But Dane, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I can reiterate what you said. If you have any questions or patient has questions, definitely reach out to your primary care provider and we can get you guys taken care of.
Excellent. Very well said. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode of the Fortcast on respiratory season. I want to once again thank our wonderful nurse practitioner, Dane Schultz, for being part of our show today. Please feel free to see our whole library of podcasts on our website, and please share this on your social media channels if you enjoyed this episode. Once again, this is Dr. Michael Anderson signing off. Take care and have a great rest of your day.